one baptism.
One baptism.
What can we say? One Lord.
One Lord.
One faith.
One faith.
One baptism.
One baptism.
The scripture said, which is so important before that, he said, we as a church and as people of God should endeavor to keep unity is always number one. United we and divided. Jesus said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. So we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Amen. You can lose a lot of things, but don't lose your peace. Amen. And peace is the most important thing. But we thank God, amen, for his traveling mercies. And we thank God for keeping us over the highways, keeping us from hurt, harm, and danger. Amen. We thank God for keeping my wife when she did have her accident.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Do what?
Praise the Lord!
Come on now, when you come to church, you gotta have some freedom.
That's right.
You know, I don't know what you may have experienced before you got here. I don't know what you experienced last night, but that's all yesterday. Amen. We don't go forward looking behind us. That's why Paul said, you gotta forget what's behind you, you gotta reach forward to the things which are what? You know, one of the elements, and one of the mistakes that we make in church is we look too much in the past. You know, and God is working on me every day. Every day, you know, a lot of times you meet people and you say, oh, I remember what you did. You know what, the Bible says even God places our sins and our iniquities in the sea of, the law said your sins and your iniquities I will remember. But some kind of way we have the habit of the tendency to always remind people of their failures. Amen. We need to get more God conscious. Amen. The Bible said, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any, the next time you get ready to speak to someone, do the checklist. Is it honest? Is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? And, you know, a lot of times we say, well, I can just do what I want to do. Yes, and God will hold you accountable. Because we are to live by the word of God and we do not rewrite the scripture. But we're not going to stay there long. Because y'all getting too quiet. I don't want to kill the joy. But we do want to walk in truth. Amen. But we bless the Lord. We thank God for all of those that went on the trip. Amen. And to Georgia, we pray that God can meet your spiritual needs. It's not a vacation. Amen. We give the first day. You go early so you can have the first portion of the trip off so you can do what you want. But then after that, it's time to get down to spiritual business. Jesus said, how many know if Jesus said something usually is 100% accurate? I'm asking all that again. I have nothing against it. I see that Jesus says something. How many know it's 100% accurate?
Yeah.
Well, this is what the Lord said. He said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall. He didn't say you got to hunger and thirst after the house and all that. If you seek first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added. But nevertheless, we bless the Lord for those that did go. And we just thank God for the word of God, the teaching that we've heard. Amen. I have all of this DVDs of every service. So I'm not going to just make them up blank. So you got to put your name on a piece of paper and tell me what you want. Amen. Because when I make up those blank ones, a lot of times I'll be carrying them around forever. So if you want it, ask. Amen. Now we don't charge for DVDs, but every once in a while, just give a love offering. Amen. You don't have to do a lot. Just give something, you know, just to help with the word of God. We do have DVDs of all six services. Three, six, seven services with the, including the seminars. So we do have all of the services. And the teachings is excellent. You know, they cover everything from church to family, to husband, to wife. Amen. And this young fellow taught on a servanthood anointing. A servanthood anointing. And the greatest illustration he used as a servant, he said even Jesus washed the disciples' feet. He was the Lord of Lords. He was King of Kings, but he washed the disciples' feet. So we thank God for that. We thank God for Bishop Hayes and Evangelist Hayes and the whole Great Apostolic Holy Temple family. And you know, Bishop is always so excited that we come down and he's talking about how much of a blessing we are to him. I said, no, Bishop, you're a blessing to us. And then on Thursday afternoon, I believe it was, he called. He said, how many people you got down with you? We told him the number, about 21, 22, 23, something like that. He said, okay, I'm taking everybody out to dinner tomorrow. I said, oh, Bishop, you ain't going to do that. I said, these people can eat. But he said, I just appreciate the fact that you all travel all the way from New York to come all the way to Georgia. I said, well, you know, we come because we love the fellowship.
Amen.
And as a young church, we need mentoring, we need teaching. And you know, and I was sitting there listening as the teachings were going forward. I was listening to some of the other pastors saying, wow, pastors, I'm talking about established pastors, been there for a long time, so, wow. Heard that before. And then when Disabella Miller, you ladies are like this anyway, right? And Disabella Miller got on the responsibility of the husband regardless.
That's right.
When he finished, the pastor said, man, he said, you know what? I got a lot of soul searching. He said, regardless. Because he said, you know what God commands the brethren? You are to love the wife as Christ loved the church. So it's so much teaching. He didn't leave the women out. He did give them a responsibility, but he stepped heavy on us. But what I'm saying is, it's time as a church that we grow. You know, and then there were some things we asked Bishop about. Bishop said, you know what? Leave people alone. And let God work on them. So, well, yes, no. He said, you know what? I just had to teach my people in church. That's what he said. You know, we asked him. He said, I had to teach my people in church. Leave people alone. He said, because they have an issue with this new generation. Because the new generation has a different way of thinking. So he said, I have to have teachings. Because the new generation come in different kind of ways and all these saints want to judge them. He said, leave them alone. This is what he was telling us. I don't know if Sister Patty heard who was at dinner. He said, leave them alone. He said, just because, yeah, they come in with an earring here and an earring there. He said, leave them alone. Let God work on them. He said, this is what he said. And I like this. He said, you know what? He said, I told my saints. He said, will y'all leave people with pet tattoos alone? That's what he said. He said, leave them alone. He said, if God, let God work on them. He said, besides that it costs too much money to have those tattoos removed, unless you're going to pay for it for us. Amen. So he said, this is a whole new generation. You can't win people by you constantly judging them. He said, everybody comes from a different background and a different culture. He said, leave them alone. And let God work on it. You know, one that Jesus gave the greatest illustration. He said, let the wheat and the tare do what? The problem in the church, we got too many people trying to do what God has to do. And then he said, at the end, the reapers will do what? He said, can we just let God do what God does? Amen. But it was just a tremendous conference, you know, and the teachings. And like I said, even... when we're sitting doing nothing, he's teaching us. You know, when we're eating, he's teaching us. You know, because as a new church, he realizes that we need mentoring and we need teaching. And he said, it's just the problem in church. He said, you have to discern between good and evil, but you're not supposed to judge because the scripture says, judge. The only time, listen to me, and if you apply this, it's to help you out. The only time the Lord tells us to judge is to do what? Judge. Your life will be so much easier if you just leave people alone. And this is what he was telling. He said, you know, God says the only thing he says is judge yourself and you won't have to be. Because you shall not be judged. Who's the judge of all the earth? God is the judge of, and shall he not do right? So it was a great conference, you know, and the thing is, it does us no good if we hear it and let it slip. But we have to hide that word in our hearts. So let's not be judgmental. Let's embrace people for who they are. Amen. I'm not going to be what you are, and you're not going to be what I am, but can I just let me be me? I think Pastor Johnson said it best. You won't like this with Minister Simon, but we're going to use it anyway. He said he's like me. He would challenge pastors when it comes to singing. And he said it best. He said he was singing a song. He said, and the musician stopped him. He said, Pastor. He said, yeah. He said, ain't no key for that. He said, well, you don't have to have a key. He said, this is my moment. He said, don't play the music. Can you not spoil my moment? The Bible said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. He said, let me do it my way. He said, so after I finish singing, he said, then y'all can find the keys. He said, they told me, he said, Pastor, ain't no key for that, what you singing. Yeah. Amen. So then, you know what? You got to let God be God. And then let people enjoy God for who they are. Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
Amen. But truly, we are blessed. You know, we had the mishap with the bus, but that's right. When Bishop called, he said, well, you did better than we did when we came on there. He said, we came in a big old coach and broke down an hour from Troy and sat at the rest area for a whole day. He said, a whole day. He said, here we had a big coach. We broke down, we were there the whole day. He said, you're blessed. He said, you only broke down 45 minutes away from home? I said, yes, sir. We only broke down 45 minutes away from home. He said, well, thank you, Jesus. You know, the Bible said, in all things, we ought to do what? Give thanks. You know, everything's a learning experience. And I could explain a little more about the breakdown, but I take responsibility for that because I know what God told me to do, and I listen to mechanics. Sometimes you got to listen to God and stay on God. But let us stand, amen. Let us stand for our scripture reading. We won't be before you long because we do have to try to get the bus out from where it's at. And I got to try and drive Deacon George. Deacon George is not used to driving on the road, so. Amen. So we're gonna go get it. You know, God is good. Actually, I was getting tired till he called me and said, the bus broke down. I said, broke down? We were between Philly and Jersey. So I said, let me call because I figured if I call Troy, the people in Troy would get there before I did, but I did a little excessive driving. A little bit excessive. I went to 90. I didn't feel like I was on air. But somehow or another, I did 150 miles before they did their 40. So bless the Lord anyway. We thank God, amen. But, you know, there's an element of learning in everything that we go through. You know, everything is a learning experience. So let us turn to Genesis chapter 37. And we're going to hold Psalms chapter 11. Genesis chapter 37 and hold Psalms 11. And you know, every Sunday morning, even if I don't want to get up this morning, I'm going to get up at 6 o'clock. You know why? Because my aunt calls from Georgia. No matter what time we went to bed, 2 something, 6 o'clock, phone rang. I told my wife, I said, I was already awake anyway, it didn't matter. I just have a bad habit of waking up early. But I said, I'm not going to answer it. But then I said, yeah, let me answer it. And my uncle, who's been preaching for almost 50, 60 years, she said, oh, your uncle wants to speak to you today. But I usually speak to her. So I asked him, uncle, how you doing? Y'all don't need to know names because y'all don't appreciate Southern English. So I asked him, how was he doing? He said, I'm doing my best to make it in. He said, I'm doing my best to make it in. Then a little while later, I asked him, he said, I told you I'm just doing my best to make it in. He's been sick. He said, if I could just make it in, it'd be worth it all. So I was trying to tell my wife, she said, I heard him now. He's been really weak, but you can hear this. When he said, I got to make it in, what no weakness. Amen. I was at age 80-something. He's had Parkinson's disease for a while, dementia, strokes, heart attacks, but he's still holding on. Can we get a praise the Lord? So we're going to read Genesis chapter 37. We're going to read from verses 1 down through, it's a little lengthy reading, down to verse 11, okay? Genesis 37, verses 1 through 11. Do we all have it?
Yeah.
Now, you know, I can't handle a quiet church.
Amen.
All right. So, yeah, come on. We let everything.
Yeah,
come on. I always ask y'all a question. Anybody here dead? Raise your hand. All right. So, y'all ain't dead. So, that means we got to all get to this together. Amen. Let's start. And Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph being how old?
17
years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Jacob. It's amazing how when God is speaking, right? Joseph, you know, same thing, G. Just get the G. Yeah. But you know how it is? How does God go from Jacob to now he calls him
Israel,
right? You know, because a lot of times you read, well, what does that mean? Everything that God does has a purpose. Amen. He said, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream. And when he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheep arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheep stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheep. And his brethren said to him, shall thou indeed reign over us, or shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dream and for his words. And when he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, behold, I dream a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon, and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him. Father was who? Jacob also, Israel, did what? Rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the reading and the hearing of your word. Lord, we thank you for the Lord of the World Conference and for Bishop and Evangelist Hayes and their leadership and their guidance. Lord, we thank you for bringing us safely over the dangerous highways and byways. And we thank you, Lord, for being a keeper. And Lord, on this afternoon, we ask you to speak unto thy children. Lord, our heart's desire above all else is that we might be saved. Lord, whatever, and we have no restraints. Whatever you have to do to us on this afternoon, Lord, just don't let us be lost for eternity. For we must be saved. And Lord, we ask you to speak to us with our word. And for this we thank you. Can we all say in
Jesus' name?
Amen. You may be seated. Usually, Minister Bloomfield, I get a chance to listen to the word on Friday before I get up. But because we got in so late, I didn't hear it. But I know you were dealing with the Lord is our shepherd. I know he was dealing with the Lord is. You know what? When the Word of God really takes place and shape in your life, when you take it and apply it personally, you know, you can't. Well, God said this, but no. What did He say to you? Amen. So we read the story here. Now let us turn to Psalms chapter 11. We're gonna read verses 1-4 of Psalms chapter 11. Amen. And then we give you our topic. It says, in the Lord put I my, in the who? In the Lord I put, where do you put your trust? Where's your confidence? Remember we said, trust is a Hebrew word, means to free fall backwards and not check to see if God's going to catch you. Right? When you trust God, you free fall backwards and you don't take a second. You don't even, listen, if God said fall, you don't hesitate. Because you what? Can we what? Can we say trust Him?
Trust.
Can we all do this? If we do this together, all right, can we make a deal? Spiritual deal, not no financial. Y'all be with me, I will be with you. And if we be together, we'll be short. But if I be with you, you don't be with me, I'm going to have to stay here till you get it. All right, so what do we want to do? Somebody said, hurry, get out of here. All right. It said, in the Lord put I my how say they to me, to my soul, flee as a bird to you. I'm trusting God, and because they don't understand it, they telling me I need to flee my, not my flesh, not my body, but then they're talking about my soul. Hallelujah. Say to my soul, the part of me that's going to live on forever, because they don't understand that I trust the Lord, and they look at the thing from their outward appearance, and they're telling me that I need to flee as a bird to my mountain? Hallelujah. Sometimes they don't understand. For though the wicked bend their bow, they may ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at thee. Why? Because the devil will always fire and shoot his what? Fiery darts. That's his job. Our job is to put up a shield. His job is to shoot. Your job is to protect. But this verse here in particular is what we really want to focus on. And we're talking about trusting God. We're not talking about fleeing like a bird in trouble. We're not like the psalmist. He said, oh, that I had wings of a dove. Then when I fly away and be at rest. Hallelujah. But I like what he said. He said, if I fly to the uttermost parts of the earth, even there shall the Lord be. Now, we're talking about God now. Amen. We're not talking about a man. We're not talking about a woman. We're not talking about a preacher. We're talking about God. Who are we talking about? He said, now if I make my bed in hell, even there thou art. If I ascend up to the highest heavens, if I have to dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there, in other words, where can I go if my God is not there? So he said, if the foundation, hallelujah, what do we stand on? The foundation. The Bible said, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are His, and let him, is everybody named by the name of the Lord? Let everyone that's named by the name of the Lord depart from
iniquity.
In other words, don't do it your way, do it God's way.
That's right.
Amen. Nevertheless, the foundation of God,
and it's your
God. This foundation of God, but if the foundation be destroyed, what shall anybody want to be righteous?
Hallelujah.
The foundation that we stand on is the Word of God. Hallelujah. Let everything else pass. The Bible says not one jot, not one tittle, the smallest part of God's Word will not pass until all be fulfilled. Hallelujah. So if the foundation be destroyed, what will
righteous do?
What are you going to do if God's Word is not there? Everything that you're doing, if you're not building it on the Word of God, what are you going to do if you allow somebody that don't understand to destroy the Word of God in your life? But the next verse goes on to explain a little further. Now, God is the foundation. How many know He's the foundation? Somebody said, on Christ. On Christ. The solid rock.
Understand.
The solid rock. sure foundation. Hallelujah. You got to have a sure foundation. Amen. Before I go to this next part of the verse, Minister Sampson, y'all remember this song they sang this by Israel, how Reed, or whatever his name, Reed, what's his name, Israel somebody. He said, Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center, from the beginning to the end, and he's always been and always will be Jesus at the center. Anybody understand that? He's at the center. Everything in life starts from the center. Jesus is at the center of it all. And he said, nothing in this world matters because Jesus. Jesus is at the center of it. If I look at my life, what's at the center of it all? What does everything spring forth from? The center. Every time you eat a fruit, what's in the center? The seeds, right? Jesus is the seed and he is the word of God. You cannot have fruit without seed, and you don't ever have a fruit without a center. If the center of that fruit is right, guess what? Jesus at the center. But if the foundation, what is our foundation? The word of God. Amen. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standing. Sure. There's no guessing when it comes to God. Because it's standing. Sure. Amen. He said, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Amen. His throne is in what? Heaven. And his eyes behold, and his eyelids cry. The children of God is watching you. He sees you. He knows, do you really have confidence? Do you have trust in him? If the foundation be destroyed, if you can't do anything based on the word of God, then you're finished. If it be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So it says, some people, they just, sometimes they don't understand. So when you're going through something, you go to somebody that don't understand, they tell you to do something like flee or run. Amen. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 37. So our message this afternoon is, when they don't understand, and if we were to have a subtopic, it's when you don't understand. There are a lot of things that happen in life that we don't understand. And a lot of time, people will give you advice based on their experiences. But how many know that God works with all of us individually and he works differently? There's no blueprint other than the word of God that God follows. And in his word, he said, you know what, if you think that I'm able to exceed it and go above that and do even greater, so you cannot place limitations on God. So our standard of rule is the word of God. But we cannot determine how God is going to move in someone else's life based on how God is going to move in our life. Now I learned this years ago. I learned it through experience. I know someone that was going to school for something they had never experienced and they had never done it before. And I allowed popular opinion to say, well, why do you want to go to school for that? You don't know nothing about that. You're just going in a direction that you know you're going to fail. So, and don't be trying to figure this out. I know a lot of y'all minds are going like, how did I start? Who is that? Tell me. Some of y'all might know, but I ain't going to tell you. But based on popular opinion or what the statistics say, that's why we have all this problem with the church, trying to get the church house statistics. When you come to God, you got to throw them statistics out the window. Because he's able to exceed and abundantly above. But when you start using statistics and experiences, you make mistakes. We told him that, God, you are not going to make it. You're going to fail. Why don't you try another major? The person succeeded. And not only did they succeed, they became the head of the department. I don't know about anybody else, but you know what? It stuck in my mind. You know what they taught me? Let people do what they want to do. Because you don't know, based on my experience, it was a bad decision. But you don't know the desire or the hunger that a person has to do something. So when you give your opinion, you might not understand. You might not understand the purpose, the drive, the determination. So you give them your advice based on what you went through, and you don't understand. And the problem is the person also doesn't understand. Well, this is the case with Joseph. He didn't understand the dream. He didn't understand the vision. Brothers got mad, father got mad, mother, everybody was mad at Joseph. And he didn't cause himself to dream a dream. Who gave him the dream? God gave him the dream. But everybody got upset because of the dream. Amen. So verse 1 to 17, but we're going to skip down to verse, we know verse 3 said he loved Joseph more than anybody else because he was a child of his old age. And verse 4 said his brothers hated him, couldn't speak peaceably to him because they didn't understand. Verse 5 said, and Joseph dreamed a dream and he told it his brethren. And they hated him the more. Well, Joseph didn't cause himself to dream this dream. This dream came from God. So now when everybody else looked at Joseph's dream, they didn't understand it. And they based their determination for the dream was based on their own impressions. But they did not know that it is God that working in you. He didn't say he's working in you. God working in you both the will and the do of his heart. That's why he said you have to work out your... In church, we try to work out too many people's salvation. Just worry about yours. Because you don't understand the way that God is leading them. And because you don't understand and you put in your two cents, you could be working against God. So the brethren that said they didn't understand. And he said unto him, I pray you this dream which I have dreamed, verse 7. For behold, we were binding sheaves, and your sheep stood up and made obeisance to me. Now, did he dream this dream on his own, or God gave him a dream? Well, we read the back of the book, we know. God gave him a dream. But because of their own sensitivity, they got angry because they did not
understand.
When God gives you something, you don't need anybody's approval but God. There are sometimes I might not even understand it because God has given it to you. Now, I don't talk about starting something in church. I'm talking about when God gave you something for you. Amen? Joseph never had the dream with the intention of, yeah, one day I'm going to rule over everybody. Because Joseph also did not. They didn't understand and he didn't understand. But God had a plan and God had a process. Now, all of us, different ages, different parts of the world, different cultures, at 10, 12, or 13 years old, you never knew you would be where you are today. Right? Because God working in us individually. Now, me, Troy, New York, when I was in Atlanta, could have never happened. Because it just barely happens now. But God. Troy, New York, and New York is not me. I'm from down south. We matter of fact, when we were down there, we were by the cotton fields. We were just having a ball in the country. On the dirt roads. That's what I grew up in. All these street roads, but you know. But what I'm saying is this. As a child, I would never look to see what God has me at today. Because I didn't. So God had a way. Some of us came from Jamaica. Some of us came from Barbados. Different parts of the West Indies. All kind of Hispanic different countries. I don't mess with those because I always mess them up. But y'all came from all kind of different Hispanic countries. Amen. Anybody else come from anything else? Some of us came to Africa in a roundabout way. Amen. But God took us all a different direction to get where we are. As a younger person, Even as a young adult, you would have never looked and saw where you are today. If God has shown you this in advance, you would have said, no way. If God has shown me that I'll be the pastor of a church, absolutely positively, no way. I love church, but I love to serve in church. I don't like the pastor? Are you kidding me? But as one of the speakers said, I could not be disobedient to God. Amen. We don't understand all the way that God leads us individually. None of us would have predicted where we are today based on where we were, even if we were in church. Because it's God that worketh in us both to will and to do. So Joseph's brother didn't understand the dream, so they got angrier. Amen? Verse 8 said, and then his brother said unto him, shall thou indeed reign over us? Shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more. And he dreamed a dream more. And verse 10 said, he told it to his father, to his brother. And his father was a godly man. He's a spiritual man, but he did not understand the process. He didn't understand the direction that God was taking him. So why did he rebuke him? He did not make himself dream the dream. Amen. And he didn't say, my mother, my father, and my brethren bowed down. He said, the sun and the what? Moon. And the 11 stars.
His brother.
Right? He said, well, some father said, what does that mean? But verse 11 is very, very crucial in the whole process. Though Jacob rebuked him, the Bible said he did what? He observed it in his heart. You know what he said? Jacob said, I don't understand that. But right now, even though I'm rebuking him, because it doesn't sound right, I have to still leave room for God to move. I have to still leave room for God to move. And then if we move up, I'm not going to go through all that, just walk you through it. If we go all the way up to chapter 39, Jacob sends Joseph out to find his brethren, and his brethren are angry because they still didn't. And Joseph did not understand what was yet ahead of him and the process that God was going to take him through. So it said that when they saw him coming, they said, here comes this dreamer of dreams. But we're going to do something with this dreamer. We don't care what he dreamed. We have one goal. We're going to dig a pit and we're going to kill him. But they didn't understand. If God didn't say it, it wasn't going to happen. So they dug a pit and they threw him in the pit intending to kill him. And Reuben, who was the elder brother, said, in purpose of his heart, he said, I got to figure out a way to get my brother out the pit. So when he left Judah, we know Judah's a great tribe because the Lord came through the tribe of Judah. Said, let's not kill our brother, but let's sell him into slavery. Right? He said, Lord, we're going to get rid of this dreamer because they still did not understand. But God has a way of working, taking the crooked things and eventually making them straight. So they sold them to the Ishmaelites, and the Ishmaelites sold them down to Potiphar in Egypt, and he wound up in Potiphar's house. How old was he?
17.
But somewhere along the course, his parents had instilled some God in him. So when he went to Potiphar's house, the scripture says he went to Potiphar's house, but because God had a plan for him, the Lord was with him. And because God was with him, even though he still couldn't understand the process, he still didn't understand what they were doing. The Bible said everything that he touched in the house, because God was with him, God made it king to prosper. So now he's in Potiphar's house, and God is blessing him. God is using understand. They didn't understand, hallelujah, how God was working in him. And we all know how Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. And the Bible says he ran and got him out. Because she said, wait a minute, God is blessing you and he's fair to look upon. So Joseph got him out and held his way out. Miss Potiphar tore a portion of his clothes and made up a lie. Now when God is for you, he's more than the whole world against you. Because when her husband came in and she told him what this Hebrew had done, how he had tried to do this and do that and do the other, Potiphar got angry. Now you know God is in the mix, because if you are a slave and did what he did, you are supposed to be put to death. But when you don't understand the process, when you don't understand how God is working and moving, hallelujah, if you look at it from our value, he's in trouble. But God is still working it out. So now Potiphar should have killed him, but Potiphar wrestled with the fact that, look at all of this that God is doing for me and how he's done it. Potiphar said, even though I know what my wife said and I love her, something don't add up. So when Potiphar thought within himself, he said, though I should kill him, I can't do it. Why? Because God had a process. Joseph still did not understand. Potiphar's wife did not understand. Potiphar did not understand. His brother, his father. Nobody understood. But God. But God was still working it out. So what does he do? He puts him in prison. And when he goes to prison, because he's still with God. I don't care where you at, stay with God. I don't care how bad it gets, stay with God. The Bible said when he got to prison, he got the favor of the prison man in charge, and he put him in charge of all the prisons. Prisoners. God is still what? Working it out. Joseph doesn't understand it. Nobody else understands it. Even the jailer's like, wait a minute, what am I going to put a slave in charge of the prisoners? But God. If the foundation be destroyed. You know what? All through this, God was with Joseph. If you read the 40th chapter, I think four times it said, the Lord was with Joseph and God made him to prosper. Keep God with you. If you're an island all by yourself and you don't have nobody else, say, Jesus, I'm with you. Lord, I want you to stand by me. Even I don't understand the process, Lord, stand by me. So he's in a far and a distant land. He's all by himself, but God is with him. When people don't understand, and when you don't understand. So Joseph is in prison, and by God's providential rule. Listen, God's providence takes precedence over everything. God's providence means God is in charge. God is in control. God is working it out. How many want God to work it out? Lord, you work it out. I surrender all. I'm not going to fight you. God, I give it to you. So he goes to prison, and then all of a sudden, the butler and the baker act up in Pharaoh's house. So Pharaoh puts him in prison. And here comes a man of God that has God with him, though he's 17. Though he's probably a little older now. But he comes and he says, why are you so sad? He said, well, we both dream a dream. And this is what I like about Joseph. He didn't say, well, I can interpret. He said, do not interpretations belong God. You know what Joseph said? He said, no, I don't understand them dreams for myself yet. But God gave me them dreams, and I know eventually he's going to reveal what it means. The scripture says, I haven't seen and ear haven't heard. But eventually, you're going to understand it by and by. So Joseph says, do not interpretations belong to God. And he interprets the butler's dream and said, well, God's going to restore you. He dreamed of the vine that had three branches. He said, well, in 3 days, God's going to restore, Pharaoh's going to restore you. He said, but can I ask you to do me a favor? He still had not forgotten. He said, I was sold into slavery. I was a Hebrew. He said, when Pharaoh restores you, can you please remember me? Speak unto Pharaoh and let him know how I interpret. He said, can you remember me? You know, the butler said, well, God, do what I remember. And then the baker, he interprets the baker's dream, and the baker's hanging 3 days. The butler is set free. But when the butler gets set free, verse 41, chapter 1, verse 41, verse 1 says, for two full years, the butler forgot about Joseph when they don't understand. Now, nobody understands the process that God was sending them to. So after 2 full years, Pharaoh dreams a dream. And then when none of his magicians or anyone can interpret the dream, he calls in Joseph. And Joseph tells him that interpretations belong to through all of God. Listen, can you imagine through all of Joseph's hardship, he still didn't forget God. Everything he did, he attributed to, I don't understand, I may not know or understand what you're going through, but don't you lose God. Joseph said, it won't be up to me, but interpretations belongs to God. And when Joseph reveals the dream, what does God do? What does Pharaoh do? And God moves Pharaoh to do. He puts Joseph second in charge. Now Joseph is still does not understand the full process. He's in charge, not knowing that during the 7 years of famine, his brothers, how many he have? 11. We're going to come and fall down. And then his mother and father eventually will come when they don't understand and you don't understand. Still keep God first. God knows how to work it out in his own time, his own way. But the problem that we have is we walk too much by sight and not enough by faith. God's providential rule takes precedence over. If the judge says something, God's providential rule rules. If the banker says something, God's providential rules. God's providence takes precedence over everything. Amen. If the husband says something, God's providence rules. If the wife prays, God's providence rules. But you gotta stay with God. All the way through the process, though he did not understand it, he stayed with God. He refused, hallelujah, to let hardship. He refused to allow affliction. He refused to allow trial. He refused to allow anything to sway him in his confidence with God. When you don't understand and when I don't understand, stay with God. Well, the doctors need to stay with God. Hallelujah. When they don't understand, you got to stay with God. Now, one thing you got to watch when people don't understand, when you're going through something, that's why we got to get through this. When you're going through something, don't listen to anybody else, though close it may be, because they don't understand the process. Because when Job was going through, his wife told him to, but she did not. She did not understand the process. And at the end, Job was best double for his trouble, amen? When David went to fight Goliath, his brothers belittled him, made him this big, and talk about all of his pride because they did not understand me. They did not understand what Lord. Though you're my brothers, though you belong me, though you put me down, I stand for God. They didn't understand the process. And the scripture tells us that when Paul was in the house of Philip the evangelist, one Agabus the prophet came down from Judea and took a girl and bound it, and he said, whoever owns this girl, the Jews in Jerusalem will turn him over to the Gentiles. And the scripture says that Paul was determined to go to Jerusalem. But the brethren did not understand it. They did not understand what God, even though yes, there's going to be hardships, there's going to be trouble, there's going to be trial, they did not understand the process. So they began to weep, they began to cry, they were trying to break Paul's heart because they did not understand. Paul said, why weep ye and try to break my heart? He said, I'm not only willing to go to Jerusalem, hallelujah, hallelujah, and suffer. He said, but I'm willing to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord. And the scripture said, though they didn't understand, they left him alone and they said, the will of the Lord be done. Anybody want the will of the Lord to be done in your life? Though they don't understand, you stay. Though they can't figure out, you stay with God. Say, Lord, just let your will be done. Hey, amen. Paul got to one of the points in his life. He said, what things were gained to me? And then this is when you know you really on God's side. This is when you, anybody gets sold out to. I'm not talking about sold out to the world. I'm not talking about sold out to an individual. Anybody gets sold out to the Lord. Hallelujah. Paul said, what things were gained to me? Everything everybody else thought was important because they didn't understand. He said, I counted that loss. He said, yea, doubtless, for the excellency of the loss of Jesus Christ, I suffered the loss of, can we say all? He said, you know what? Everything that the world thinks is important, everything my family thinks is important, everything that the religious leaders think are important, he said, I counted them loss. That I may win. Hallelujah. Who are you trying to win? Who are you trying to gain favor from? He said, and be found in him not with my own righteousness, but that which is through Christ, the righteousness of God by faith. That I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable to him. by any means. That didn't by any means take away every strength. That if by any means takes away all the doubt. That I may know him. Anybody want to know the Lord? I'm not talking about a superficial, yeah, I know Jesus. I'm talking about knowing him in your soul. I'm talking about knowing him in your heart. I'm talking about, I say, Lord, if you tell me to give up everything and follow you, I'll do it. If by any means. The Bible says, humble yourself, therefore, of the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your cares upon him, because he careth for you. He said, now even though you need God, still be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around in your roar at night, seeking who? People don't understand. The devil confused them. He's trying to devour you. But the scripture said, he who resists, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are being accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Hallelujah. When I like the next scripture, he said, but the God of all grace. Do you know what all grace means? Whatever you have, God has the grace. Whatever you're going through, God has the grace. But the God of all grace, who has called us according to his eternal purpose after that. It ain't before. God has a process. God has a way to be saved. You don't understand it right now, but stand the storm, and it won't be long. Victory, right? Keep on fighting, and it won't be long. Victory, after that you suffered a while, God will make you perfect, established, strengthened, and settle you. So the next time the trial comes, the devil attacks you, you won't have to flee and to burn to the mountain. But he said, my soul rests in God. Anybody want their soul to rest in God? You may not understand the process. Others may not understand. People are probably discouraged you. But after that, what does that mean? You got to go through it. After that, you've done the will of God. You have need of patience that you might inherit the promise. When you don't understand, when they don't understand, just be still and know that I am God. Hallelujah.